live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, January 4th, 2023. Coming up this hour,
Kevin McCarthy's push to become House Speaker suffers a historic setback.
FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried pleads not guilty to criminal charges.
We get more clues on Fed policy as minutes from the last meeting are released.
And Kathy Wood doubles down on Tesla yet again.
The man charged with shooting up a New York subway pleads guilty. Plus, day one in the House for embattled Long Island Representative George Santos. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. The latest on DeMar Hamlin. The Rangers and Islanders both won. Big East losses for St. John's and Seton Hall.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are higher this morning. We check the markets all day long here on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 16 points or 0.4%. Dow futures up 0.25% or 95 points. And NASDAQ futures up 0.6% or 62 points. And the 10-year treasury up 12/32, yield 3.69%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.34%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2% on $1.53 at $75.41 a barrel. Nathan.
Karen, we're going to have more on the markets in a minute, but we begin this morning with political turmoil in Washington. After three rounds of voting, House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy has failed to secure the speakership in the next Congress. Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
McCarthy continued negotiations overnight after the House abruptly adjourned when three rounds of balloting failed to elect a Speaker of the House. This is the first time in 100 years and the second time since the Civil War that a House Speaker was not elected on the first ballot. McCarthy says he will not withdraw.
We're not that far away. We only need 11 more votes to win. So I think from the whole perspective, you talk to everybody, it's not that far away.
Lawmakers will reconvene at noon today for another round of votes to elect a Speaker. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Right, Amy, thank you. Well, this blow to Kevin McCarthy has opened up a rift within the GOP. Former acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney is co-founder of the House Freedom Caucus. He says Republicans who voted against McCarthy are being hammered in conservative media outlets.
They don't want to make it look like the Republicans are complete idiots when it comes to running the country. And that's sort of the message, you know, that's coming out of the House today is that we don't know how to govern. And that's not a good thing for our brand.
Former White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the show weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio and hear more of that interview coming up shortly on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Now, staying in Washington, Karen, the White House is taking aim at Southwest Airlines. The Biden administration says it will hold Southwest responsible for massive flight delays over the holidays. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The White House says Southwest Airlines failed its customers point blank. White House spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre says all cancellations December 24th were controllable. She says that is according to Southwest.
While every major airline faced challenges from a pre-Christmas storm that wreaked havoc on the aviation system, all major airlines except for one, which is Southwest, clearly were able to recover quickly.
And she says the Department of Transportation will make sure Southwest makes their customers whole. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, and thank you. Well, it's shaping up to be one of the highest-profile white-collar fraud cases in years. The case of collapsed crypto exchange FTX is now making its way to the courtroom. And we get the very latest live with Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Disgraced FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried pled not guilty to 8 criminal charges, including wire fraud and campaign finance violations. Authorities say SBF duped investors out of $1.8 billion before his crypto company went belly up. Bankman-Fried was released on $250 million bail after being extradited from the Bahamas to the U.S. Prosecutors want a judge to impose additional bail conditions. Bankman-Fried's trial is scheduled to begin in October. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport. Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Steve, thanks. Let's turn back to markets now. Wall Street began the new year very much like 2022 with losses. Apple and Tesla led stocks lower, with the S&P 500 falling 0.4% yesterday. David Dietz is senior portfolio strategist at PPAC Private Wealth Management.
It is a new calendar year, but it's the same old problems continue to plague us here. I think recession concerns are probably at the top, particularly for equity investors, because that could hurt corporate earnings, and that's the lifeblood for stocks.
PPAC Private Wealth's David Dietz says he's concerned there is not concrete evidence that inflation has peaked.
And Nathan, we see today how the inflation picture is impacting views at the Federal Reserve. Minutes of the central bank's December meeting are released this afternoon, and we get more from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
With inflation staging a dramatic breakout, the Fed lifted its benchmark interest rate from 0 to 4.5% over the course of 2022. By many accounts, the Fed will keep tightening, lifting the federal funds rate to 5% or even higher. Bloomberg Economics says key drivers of the inflation rampage, such as rising labor costs, are alive and well. Fed Chair Jerome Powell has said central bankers still have some ways to go. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. We have a couple inflation readings out of Europe this morning. French inflation unexpectedly slowed in December. Consumer prices rose 6.7% from a year earlier. That's after record increases of 7.1% in October and November. And food inflation in UK stores jumped to a record high, 13.3% last month.
And finally, Nathan, Cathie Wood continues to double down on Tesla. The investor bought more than 176,000 shares of the electric vehicle producer. The purchase came yesterday as Tesla's stock plunged 12%. That's the biggest one-day drop in more than 2 years. Wood's exchange-traded funds have bought more than 938,000 shares of Tesla since October. And this morning, Tesla is up about 1.5% in early trading.
And the futures are moving higher as well, Karen, with S&P futures right now up 17 points. That's a gain of about 0.5%. Dow futures up 102 points, and NASDAQ futures are higher by 69 points. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. 56 degrees right now in Central Park. It's going to be rainy this afternoon, mild too, with highs in the low 60s. We'll get down to the upper 40s tonight as the rain gets on out of here. Time now to take a look at some of the other stories making news in New York and around the world with Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The man accused of shooting up a New York City subway car pleaded guilty yesterday. Frank James shot and wounded 10 passengers on a Manhattan-bound N train in Brooklyn April 12th. He did not say why, but James conceded, "While I was on the train, I fired a weapon." James said he did not intend to kill anyone, but told the judge he was fully aware that deaths could occur as a result of discharging a firearm in such an enclosed space. Prosecutors revealed James had been planning the attack since 2017 and even conducted a trial run. He faces life in prison. It was day one for embattled Representative George Santos in Congress, and it was far from a house party when reporters shouted questions.
Do you have any statements to your constituents?
The Long Island Republican didn't answer questions, and once in the House chamber, sat by himself. Santos admits he lied about his resume, including his education and work. There are calls for him to resign. The man suspected of killing four University of Idaho students could arrive back in Idaho today. Brian Koberger agreed to go voluntarily during a court hearing in Pennsylvania yesterday. Major Christopher Paris is with the Pennsylvania State Police.
Arrangements currently are being made to deliver Koberger back to Idaho, where he can have continued due process and face these charges.
The father of one of the victims, Kaylee Gonclaves, welcomed Koberger's arrest.
It felt like a cloud was lifted off of us. It definitely provided relief and comfort to know that things were progressing.
Koberger faces four counts of murder and one count of burglary. Emergency crews sifted through the rubble of a building struck by Ukrainian rockets, killing at least 89 Russian soldiers. It happened in a town partially Russian-occupied in the eastern Donetsk region. A rule change by the FDA will allow a broader range of pharmacies to fill prescriptions for the abortion pill known as mifepristone. The pharmacy must meet certain requirements, and prescriptions can only be written by certified health care providers. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Good morning, John Stanshar.
Good morning, Nathan. DeMar Hamlin's uncle says his nephew is still fighting. The Buffalo Bills safety remains in intensive care in critical condition at Cincinnati Hospital. His heart was apparently resuscitated not only on the field Monday night, but again in the hospital. Reaction yesterday from longtime Steelers coach Mike Tomlin.
And it's a really personal thing for me, being a Pittsburgher. And that young man being a Pittsburgher, I've known that guy probably since he was about 12. Just got a lot of respect and love for him as a human being, his commitment to the pursuit of his goals and dreams.
There continue to be reports the NFL wanted the game to be resumed. The league insists that wasn't the case. The NFL did announce the game will not be resumed this week. Bills and Bengals will play their game Sunday. Makes it seem they'll end up playing one fewer game, and AFC seedings will be determined by win percentage. Carolina Hurricanes came to the Garden having won 11 in a row. Didn't trail until a Keandre Miller goal midway through the third period. Rangers scored 3 in the third. They beat the Canes 5-3. Islanders won 6-2 at Vancouver. Matthew Barzal had a goal to assist. Knicks home tonight for San Antonio. The Nets bring their 12-game winning streak to Chicago. St. John's blew a lead, lost at home to Marquette 96-85, and the Red Storm now just 1-4 in the Big East, the same record as Seton Hall, who lost by 22 at Creighton. The Yankees have hired Brian Sabian to assist GM Brian Cashman. Sabian started his career in the Yankee front office and then spent the next 30 years with the San Francisco Giants. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. And Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information. What comes next in the speakership fight? We'll take a look at that just ahead as the turmoil in Washington continues. First, markets are moving higher this morning. S&P futures are up 19 points. Dow futures up 114. And NASDAQ futures are higher by 78 points. 10-year treasuries up 12/32, yield 3.69%. Yield on the 2-year, 4.34. NYMEX crude's lower, down 2%, $75.39 for a barrel of West Texas Intermediate.
Live from coast to coast, from New York to San Francisco, Boston to Washington, D.C., nationwide on SiriusXM, the Bloomberg Business App, and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager, and for the first time in 100 years, Washington is waking up without a Speaker of the House. Kevin McCarthy's long-held goal of taking the gavel has been dealt a serious blow after he lost 3 votes on the first day of the 118th Congress, and lawmakers are going to be back at it today. But this fight could take a bit of time to resolve. Let's bring in Greg Valliere for more on this, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments. Greg, Happy New Year. Not so happy for Kevin McCarthy, though. And I know you spent a lot of time making predictions about what's going to happen with policy in Washington. Did you expect something like this for Leader McCarthy?
I think all of us who follow this intensely thought it would be really close and really controversial, but this defies belief. You can't make this stuff up, Nathan, and this could drag on for a while.
Well, how long do you expect it to drag on, Greg? I mean, he lost 3 votes yesterday. He didn't seem to gain much support. He actually seemed to lose a little bit of support as the voting went on. What comes next?
Well, he's putting up a good front. He's talking about prevailing eventually, and he might. He still has a lot of support in the House, but not losing 19 or 20 votes. You can't do this. So I wrote this morning in my piece that just went out, I think Republicans are going to have to start thinking about a fallback. And that fallback would be Steve Scalise, a very conservative House member from Louisiana, courageously dealt with a gunshot wound in 2017. Scalise is liked by virtually all Republicans. And if Kevin McCarthy doesn't start to show better in these votes in the next day or two, you're going to hear the name Steve Scalise a lot.
Now, what did you make of Steve Scalise's speech yesterday when the renomination process went on?
Well, the thing is, to make this even more complicated, Scalise is a supporter of McCarthy and has indicated he doesn't want to take the job from McCarthy. The same applies to Jim Jordan of Ohio, who says, I want McCarthy. So that makes it even more difficult. But at some point, there's going to have to be a reckoning if McCarthy can't get the votes. And the party is not going to come today, but within the next few days, we'll have to start thinking of alternatives.
What is it that these 19 or 20 Republicans who have voted against McCarthy through this process, what is it that they have against him? Why are they so upset at him?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? For some of them, it's just personal. They feel that McCarthy is not sufficiently conservative. I would argue he certainly is. Some of it is the fact that they feel McCarthy can't be trusted, a long laundry list of personal grievances. But when they made demands of McCarthy in the last week or so, McCarthy capitulated. He agreed to their demands, yet they still wouldn't go along with him.
Yeah, and I guess that raises the question about whether there are any further compromises that Kevin McCarthy could make to try to win over some of these holdouts. Are there?
No, I don't really see very much. I mean, there's all this far-fetched stuff. A former House member, Fred Upton, who has resigned, might come back and be House Speaker. You don't have to be a member of the House to be House Speaker. There's been talk about Donald Trump and all sorts of far-fetched scenarios. Talk about maybe some Democrats wouldn't vote and that would make 218 not a valid number. It goes on and on. I think the most likely scenario is that this continues for not days but weeks, and it will hurt the Republican brand. I think that will be the dominant argument that other Republicans will start to make. It's hurting their brand.
Yeah, I guess there's not only the question about whether this hurts the Republican brand, but I mean, no matter who comes out on top, whether it ends up being Kevin McCarthy or one of the other names you mentioned there, Steve Scalise or Jim Jordan, where does this leave the speakership? I mean, how much power does the speaker have after this kind of fractiousness?
Great point, Nathan. And I think that a mere 4 or 5 votes on certain issues could defeat whoever becomes the House Speaker. So it looks to me like a very dysfunctional show. The markets can live with this. There's a lot of other things the markets are focused on now, as you know. But I think by the time we get to the spring or summer, the markets are going to say, if they can't get a bill done on anything, what about the debt ceiling? What about the default crisis? That's a story that looms over the next few months.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that in our last 30 seconds here. What does this say about the ability of the new slim Republican majority to get policymaking done, like those things you mentioned that do matter to markets, the debt ceiling, just getting appropriations done? We have about 30 seconds left.
Sure, Nathan. And I would say that, again, even if McCarthy wins, and there's still a path for him, not a clear path, but whoever wins is going to face tremendous opposition to any kind of legislation. And I think to see the House this dysfunctional sooner or later is going to become unnerving for the markets.
Could take weeks. That's the call from Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist, AGF Investments. Greg, always great to get your insights. Excuse me. Thanks so much for being with us this morning. Looking ahead to the market open, S&P futures are higher by 17 points. Dow futures up 102, and NASDAQ futures are on the rise by 74 points. 10-year treasuries up 13/32, yield 3.69%. We've got much more on the speakership fight throughout the morning. Stay with us on Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are on the rise this morning with S&P futures up 17 points or 0.4%. Dow futures up 98 points or 0.3%, and NASDAQ futures up 71 points or about 0.7%, and the 10-year treasury up 13/32, yield 3.68%. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The House will convene today as Republicans try again to elect a speaker for the new Congress. This comes as GOP leader Kevin McCarthy came short of overcoming opposition from the far right of his party after a series of votes. The FDA finalized a rule change that increases the availability of abortion pills to many more pharmacies, including large change in mail order companies. The NBA, the Celtics and Wizards lost in hockey. The Rangers and Islanders won. Capitals lost in OT. Buffalo safety DeMar Hamlin remains in critical condition after a cardiac arrest during Monday Night Football. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 5:23 on Wall Street. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and our focus remains on Washington this morning, where House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy has failed to secure the speakership after three rounds of voting. It marks the first time in 100 years that a House speaker was not elected on a first ballot. Mick Mulvaney, former White House acting chief of staff and the co-founder of the House Freedom Caucus, is weighing in on the developments. Mick Mulvaney spoke with our Washington correspondent, Joe Matthew, late yesterday. Let's listen in.
Is it the right thing to adjourn for the night?
I don't know. Yes, because I think if the decision was made in order to bring some pressure on the Never Kevin people, I think that was the right decision. They're getting just pilloried by talk radio, by cable news, by social media. The likes of Mark Levin and Laura Ingraham are just ripping these people because they don't have a plan. I don't think those folks are necessarily huge supporters of Kevin McCarthy, but they don't want to make it look like the Republicans are complete idiots when it comes to running the country. And that's sort of the message, you know, that's coming out of the House today, is that we don't know how to govern, and that's not a good thing for our brand.
When you zoom out, though, do you see anybody else who could pull over 200 votes each round, which Kevin McCarthy did? I realize he's losing support here in these first three rounds. But who else is there, Mick?
No, and that's the question I've asked the Never Kevin people. I know most of these folks. I've been friends with these folks. I'm like, guys, who? And they won't give me a name. You know, they nominated Jim Jordan a couple times, and Jim is a great guy, and I would vote for Jim Jordan all day long if I were in the House. But Jim can't get elected. He cannot get the 218 votes that we expect people are going to need. There's going to be five or six moderates, liberals within the Republican Party for whom Jim is just not acceptable. My guess is if it's not Kevin, it will end up being a compromise candidate more towards the Democrat side of my party, more something like a Fred Upton. And I've used Fred's name. I use that, you know, with a smile on my face because Fred's a friend of mine, but he's a very moderate Republican. That's going to be who you end up with, because it'll be a coalition of Republicans and Democrats electing the speaker, not the Republicans. And that's what I fear is the end result here of this opposition to Kevin McCarthy, is you get somebody who is even less acceptable to the conservative wing of the party, and that would be a shame.
Pick another unity candidate, if there's such a thing, that emerges in the early stages of voting tomorrow.
It's the conversations I've been trying to drive today. You know, I'm talking to, say, Dan Bishop. Dan's a friend of mine. Went to law school together. He's got the district right across where I live back home, and I know Dan, know him very well. And I'm asking Dan, you know, give me a name, and he won't give me a name. There is no name. I think they're playing checkers. They really don't like Kevin McCarthy, and that's about it.
Everyone keeps asking why, Mick. I know this is more complicated than it being a so-called Freedom Caucus thing. What is the problem with Kevin McCarthy?
Let's be clear. It's not a Freedom Caucus thing. The majority of the Freedom Caucus voted for Kevin McCarthy three times today. So, no, a lot of these folks, not all of them, a lot of these folks who opposed Kevin are in the Freedom Caucus, but this is not a Freedom Caucus sort of rebellion. I don't know what the objection is. You know, and I talked to Ralph Norman, my congressman in South Carolina. I said, you know, why are you doing this? He goes, well, we're losing our country. I'm like, okay, I guess I agree with that. He goes, we're drowning in debt. I'm like, I get that, but tell me how. You know, not voting for Kevin McCarthy solves that, and there's no response to that. There's just a lot of personal animus that I don't understand, and that's not a good reason. Sometimes you have to put your personal preferences aside and, you know, vote your head and not your heart, and I just don't see them doing that right now.
And that's former White House Chief of Staff, co-founder of the House Freedom Caucus, Mick Mulvaney, speaking with our Washington correspondent, Joe Matthew, on Bloomberg Sound On. We're going to bring you more of that interview coming up later. Make sure to catch Sound On weeknights on Bloomberg Radio at 5 p.m. Wall Street time. Download the show wherever you get your podcasts. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Innovation Refunds, that small businesses impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic may qualify for the Employee Retention Credit. Let Innovation Refunds do the work to find out now if your organization qualifies for ERC assistance. They've already helped businesses claim more than $2 billion in payroll tax refunds. Learn more at GetRefunds.com. Got your morning's top stories, local headlines, and a check of markets straight ahead. First, today's Bloomberg weather forecast.
Cloudy skies across the tri-state area today. Highs will reach an unusually warm 60 to 65 this afternoon. We'll see some rain developing across the area this afternoon as well. Rain ends tonight, lows 45 to 50. Lots of clouds tomorrow. Cool off a little bit. Highs will be 50 to 55. It'll turn partly sunny for Friday. Highs Friday between 45 and 50. I'm Rob Carolyn with your three-day forecast on Bloomberg 1130.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Coming up on 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we are just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We begin in Washington, where House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy has failed to secure the speakership. The blow to McCarthy and the GOP has drawn sharp criticism from conservative media. Mick Mulvaney, former acting White House chief of staff and co-founder of the House Freedom Caucus, says it could open the door for a Democrat-friendly House speaker.
My guess is if it's not Kevin, it will end up being a compromise candidate more towards the Democrat side of my party, more something like a Fred Upton. And I've used Fred's name. I use that, you know, with a smile on my face because Fred's a friend of mine, but he's a very moderate Republican.
Mick Mulvaney spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
And staying in Washington, the Biden administration's taking aim at Southwest Airlines. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says the Department of Transportation will hold Southwest accountable for holiday flight delays tied to inclement weather.
All major airlines except for one, which is Southwest, clearly, were able to recover quickly.
Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says the White House wants Southwest to cover rebookings, hotel rooms, and other amenities.
Well, turning to crypto now, Nathan, it could be one of the highest-profile white-collar fraud trials in years. The case of collapsed crypto exchange FTX is now making its way to the courtroom. Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport joins us live with the latest. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Sam Bankman-Fried will stand trial in October on 8 federal charges, including wire fraud and campaign finance violations. SBF pled not guilty on all counts yesterday. Prior to his arrest last month, Bankman-Fried admitted to making mistakes but denied knowingly committing fraud. Prosecutors say they expect to lay out their case against the disgraced FTX founder in the next 4 weeks. Bankman-Fried also faces civil action from government regulators. Those charges will likely be on hold while the criminal case plays out. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Steve, thanks. Turning to markets now, Wall Street began the new year very much like 2022, with losses. Inflation concerns remain in focus, along with today's release of minutes from the Fed. Aaron Gibbs, Chief Investment Officer at Main Street Asset Management, says more down days for growth stocks could be on the way.
As long as we're uncertain about the future, it's those growth stocks that are going to take the biggest hits and your defensive sectors that are going to tend to hold up better.
Aaron Gibbs with Main Street Asset Management thinks growth stocks carry a lot of risk at the moment.
And Nathan, we have a couple of key inflation readings out of Europe today. French CPI for December unexpectedly dipped, coming in at 6.7%. At the same time, though, UK food inflation jumped to a record high of 13.3% last month. And futures this morning are on the rise. S&P futures up about 17 points, up 0.4%. Dow futures up 0.3%, or 96 points. And NASDAQ futures up 0.7%, or 71 points. 10-year Treasury up 12/32, yield 3.69%. Straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 5:31 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with those headlines from New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The New York City native who tossed smoke canisters inside a packed Brooklyn subway car before opening fire on commuters last year has pleaded guilty to terrorism and gun charges. Frank James appeared in federal court in Brooklyn yesterday. James faces a sentence up to life in prison. Republican Congressman George Santos did not answer any questions, shouted by reporters as he spent day one in the House. Once in the chamber, Santos sat alone. The Long Island representative admitted he lied about his resume while on the campaign trail. During a briefing, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre commented on Santos.
this is something that the House Republicans, the Republican conference, they will have to decide what they owe to the American people in terms of standards and service. That is something that they have to decide on.
There are growing calls for Santos to step down. The man charged in the November murders of four University of Idaho students waived his right to an extradition hearing in Pennsylvania that will speed up 28-year-old Brian Koberger's transfer to Moscow, Idaho to stand trial. Colonel Robert Evanchak of the Pennsylvania State Police.
My heart goes out to the families of the victims, their friends, the community of Moscow, and the University of Idaho.
Police are said to have linked Koberger to the crime scene through DNA. The Russian military says unauthorized use of cell phones by Russian soldiers led to a deadly Ukrainian rocket attack on the facility where they were stationed. It raised the death toll from the weekend attack to 89. Meanwhile, State Department spokesman Ned Price says that the U.S. will support Ukraine.
We will stand with Ukraine for as long as it takes. As we have said, President Putin can choose to end this war today.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:33 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Here's John Stanshauer.
Thanks, Nathan. Buffalo Bills safety DeMar Hamlin remains in intensive care in critical condition. His uncle says Hamlin had his heart resuscitated twice Monday night, once on the field and then again in the hospital. The family released a statement expressing its gratitude for the outpouring of support. Hamlin has a GoFundMe for a toy drive, and in 24 hours it went from having $2,500 in it to now more than $5 million. Rangers hosted the hottest team in hockey. Carolina had won 11 in a row, brought a lead to the third period at the Garden. Artemi Panarin tied the game 36 seconds into the third, and then midway through.
Knocked away by Slavin. Kako gets it back behind the net. Drives to the edge of the trapezoid to the far circle. Kako to the point. Zibanejad with a blast and scores! This could have been deflected as well. 4-3 Rangers, their first lead of the game.
On ESPN New York, Keandre Miller got the goal, and the Rangers added an empty netter. They beat the Hurricanes 5-3. Islanders, three goals in both the second and third periods, and they won 6-2 at Vancouver. The season began well for St. John's. Red Storm were off to an 8-0 start, 11-1, but a fourth straight Big East loss. Marquette won the second half 55-37, took the game 96-85. Seton Hall lost by 22 at Creighton. Brian Sabian began his career in the Yankee front office, oversaw the drafting of the Yankee Core Four that led them to four championships. He then spent 30 years with the Giants. Now Sabian returning to the Yanks as an assistant to GM Brian Cashman. John Stashelli, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. And the Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. And here with that is Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Manhattan's home buying market weakened at the end of last year, but did not signal a deep freeze heading into the new year. Co-ops and condos traded for a median of $1.1 million in the fourth quarter, a 5.5% drop from 2021, according to appraiser Miller Samuel and brokerage Douglas Elliman Real Estate. The New York State Gambling Facility Location Board has approved a $500 million license fee for each of the three casinos being proposed for the New York City area. The three members of the panel also voted at a meeting Tuesday to approve a minimum $500 million capital investment by the license winners. Atlantic City's Hard Rock Casino has hired a new management team as the property pushes for an even greater share of the market. George Goldoff was named president of the casino. Mike Sampson was named GM. Both men are expected to start within the next few weeks. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
All right, Ed, thank you. It's 5:36 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. During the chaotic U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan in 2021, the Biden administration granted so-called humanitarian parole to more than 70,000 Afghan evacuees to allow their entry into the U.S. This designation expires after 2 years. Without an adjustment in their immigration status, these Afghans will have to request asylum to stay in the U.S., a lengthy, confusing, and expensive process. The Bipartisan Afghan Adjustment Act, which lawmakers introduced last August, provides a common-sense solution. But Congress left it out of the 4,000-page spending bill President Joe Biden signed into law last week. That isn't just cruel, it's damaging to national security. Allowing this issue to slide further will undermine American credibility and confirm accusations of U.S. hypocrisy. The 118th Congress should resolve this matter without delay. Anything less would be a betrayal of America's allies and ideals. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Another story we're watching this morning is another policy shift at Twitter, one of many since Elon Musk took control. The company plans to relax a 3-year ban on political advertising to, quote, facilitate public conversation around important topics. Further details have yet to be announced, but Twitter imposed its ban in 2019. At the time, it said political message reach should be earned, not bought. Futures are moving higher. S&P futures up 13 points. Dow futures up 76, and NASDAQ futures are higher by 58 points. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and stocks are rising with U.S. stock index futures as favorable news reports from China and data from Europe boost risk appetite and the dollar's falling, treasuries rising. We check the markets all day long here on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 10 points or 0.25%. Dow futures up 0.2% or 61 points. And NASDAQ futures up 0.4% or 42 points. The DAX in Germany is up 1.2%. 10-year treasury up 11/32, yield 3.69%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.34%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.2% at $1.70 at $75.23 a barrel. COMEX gold up 1% or $18.10 at $18.64.10 an ounce. The euro 1.0615 against the dollar. British pound 1.2075. The yen 130.50, and Bitcoin is up more than 1%. It's at about $16,800. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, for the first time in 100 years, members of Congress failed to elect a House Speaker yesterday on day one. They will reconvene today at noon. The man running for the speakership, Republican leader Kevin McCarthy, was rebuffed 3 times. The Mega Millions jackpot increased to an estimated $940 million after another drawing resulted in all losers, not a single grand prize winner. In the NBA, the Celtics and Wizards lost. In hockey, the Rangers and Islanders won. Capitals lost in OT to the Sabres, 5-4. Buffalo safety DeMar Hamlin remains in critical condition after he collapsed during a Monday night football game of cardiac arrest. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, we're all pulling for DeMar Hamlin. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate that. It is 5:42 on Wall Street. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm Nathan Hager, along with Karen Moscow. Taking a look at some of the other stories making news this morning. Economists anticipate another round of weak data in today's manufacturing report from the Institute for Supply Management. We get those numbers 10 a.m. Wall Street time. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice has more.
The prior report covering November showed the ISM factory index signaled contraction for the first time since May 2020. Bloomberg Economics says today's data could suggest manufacturers are bracing for weaker demand as Federal Reserve interest rates take hold. December's ISM report could also signal prices are starting to moderate somewhat after the U.S. inflation rate hit a 40-year high in 2022. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thanks. So we also get minutes from the Fed's latest meeting at 2 p.m. Eastern today. Investors will be looking for any language that may hint at the path of policy. Meantime, former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan is weighing in on the outlook. He says a U.S. recession is the most likely outcome as the Fed tightens policy. We get that story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Greenspan is now a senior economic advisor to Advisors Capital Management, and his remarks came in a question-and-answer commentary on ACM's website. He said while the last two monthly reports showed a deceleration in consumer price increases, quote, I don't think it will warrant a Fed reversal that is substantial enough to avoid at least a mild recession. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. Well, inflation is also front and center in Europe this morning. Food inflation in UK stores jumped to a record high last month, and that is retailers warning of another year of elevated prices. The British Retail Consortium said that food inflation accelerated strongly to 13.3% in December. That's up from 12.4% the previous month. Nathan?
Now, at the same time, Karen, we've got signs of inflation potentially easing in France this morning, and some positive data as well out of China on the property front that seems to be adding to some of the positive sentiment we're seeing in the market this morning. But that's just me talking. Let's get some actual insights from an expert, Esty Dweck, Chief Investment Officer at FlowBank, with us live this morning. Esty, it's great to have you with us. And I mean, I look at my screen this morning, it looks a lot like it did yesterday, with futures higher along with treasuries. But we started the year off with losses for U.S. stocks. Is this another head fake for markets?
Good morning. Well, that's the question. We had a very difficult end to the year, and yesterday wasn't a great start, as markets were in the green early and reversed quite quickly. We are getting slightly better data today, as you were mentioning earlier, the inflation numbers. In Europe, that's a third country, with Germany and Spain to have lower inflation there. I'm leaving the UK separate. They have a different set of challenges over there. So we're getting some encouraging news. We'll see the prices paid this afternoon, if that points to ongoing disinflation, as it should for the US as well. It's too early to say if it's a head fake, but certainly the start of the year and this ongoing hawkishness from central banks is continuing to weigh on markets. So a day green would be good for consolidation, but the path of least resistance could still be downward for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I suppose the focus is going to be right back on central banks this afternoon when we get those minutes from the December Fed meeting. How do you expect markets to react to that?
Well, we saw some jitters yesterday ahead of the release. We know the minutes are going to be hawkish because the Fed was very hawkish at its December meeting. But since then, we've had quite a few data points that are showing that disinflation is happening. It might even be happening faster than the Fed anticipated. So I think markets will take it with a grain of salt, especially if we get better prices paid data in the ISM, and given some of those European data points that are just adding to this, confirming that inflation is on its way down.
Is it going to be a smooth path down for inflation, or is there a possibility that we could see peaks and troughs to price pressures as we head through this year?
We could certainly see plateaus. So we could see it come down and then have some stalling out, and then, you know, more in steps. And certainly if we don't see ongoing move downwards, that can create reaction in markets and lead to jitters. And we're going to have to show the Fed that inflation is coming down. So we're going to have to, you know, watch those reactions as well. So certainly not in a smooth line, but a number of the components, especially on the good side, are really falling quite sharply. We're getting more and more indication that the labor market is softening, even if the headline data isn't showing all of that yet. And so the services side at some point should start to soften as well in terms of inflation, but that could take a lot longer. And we could have, as you say, those plateaus and those little steps that might still be painful for investors.
Setting me up so nicely to get your take on what we're going to get from the jobs report at the end of this week. Are we going to see further signs of slack in the labor market, or is the Fed still got more of a fight to do to break through this tightness in the labor market?
It's been very interesting to see the difference in the official labor surveys and the non-farm payrolls data that's coming in, and all of the other surveys. We're also going to get the JOLTS, I think today or tomorrow. So that will be sort of leading us into the Friday numbers. I think we are gradually going to see more softness, and we know it's happening. We know there are more and more layoffs. We know companies are very aggressively cutting costs in anticipation of a slowdown this year, and that will have an effect on the jobs market. Now, whether December looks stronger than the Fed would like it to. We've seen that almost month and month again, so that is still a real possibility.
In our last minute here, Esty, are there certain sectors or styles within this market where you see opportunity?
Still cautious for the start of the year. I think it's going to be a bumpy ride. At this point, almost everyone is pricing in recession, so we are pricing in some bad news already. But as we've seen, it doesn't mean that it's enough to avoid further legs down or new legs down. I'm not sure we have to break through all the big lows yet. So a little cautious. I think for the year as a whole, a little more optimistic that growth stocks are going to do better than people expect right now, but it's still a bit early for that.
Yeah, it certainly is, just the fourth morning of 2023. Thanks for this, Esty. Always great to get your thoughts. Esty Dweck, Chief Investment Officer at Flow Bank, with us this morning as we watch futures move a little bit higher off the session highs, but still in the green. S&P futures right now are up 11 points. Dow futures up 66. NASDAQ futures are higher by 45 points. 10-year Treasuries up 11 32nds. Yield on the benchmark, 3.69%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are on the rise this morning. S&P futures up 0.3% or 11 points. Dow futures up 0.2% or 65 points. And NASDAQ futures up 0.4% or 46 points. The 10-year Treasury up 12 32nds, yield 3.69%. And the yield on the 2-year at 4.34%. NYMEX crude oil moving lower this morning, down more than 2.5% on $1.97 at $74.96 a barrel. COMEX gold on the rise, up 1% or $17.80 at $1,863.90 an ounce. The euro this morning, 1.0619 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2065. The yen at 130.46. And Bitcoin is at about $16,800. That's up 1.1%. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:56 on Wall Street. Time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. Today, we look at the legalization of marijuana in New York. Nearly 2 years after pot became legal in the state, it has only one retail weed shop that opened its doors to the public in Lower Manhattan just last week. That falls far short of Governor Kathy Hochul's prediction that 20 stores would open by the end of the year. New York State has yet to keep its promise to provide retail licensees with storefronts and startup loans. For more on the situation and the legal implications, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks with Jason Little, who heads the cannabis practice team at Farrell Fritz.
New Jersey opened with 12 retail marijuana dispensaries, New York with one. What are your clients telling you about the licensing process? Where have they been having difficulties with it?
I have a cultivator client, and he was one of the first farms to have a sprout in the state of New York. He was one of the first folks to get a cultivator license when the conditionals came out. He was a hemp grower, and it worked out pretty well for him. There's issues attendant with that now, but that licensing process worked pretty smoothly for him. I have processor license clients that have been approved. Some have not. Again, it's went well. Just slow. The Couard retail dispensary licenses are a little bit slow. I mean, they've taken several months to get off the ground. It looks like they're going in the right direction and rolling now, but I think a whole bunch more of those applicants need to get their licenses, and hopefully sooner than later so we can get the market off the ground.
Tell us about federal banking rules and why retail weed shops like Housing Works have to find a state-chartered bank to accept debit payments. No credit cards.
The situation is legal entanglement. So, as you surely know, June, cannabis remains a Schedule I controlled substance. So, theoretically, interstate commerce of cannabis is illegal. Cannabis commerce in general is illegal, and banking, especially with respect to federally chartered banks, it's a risk that a lot of the banks, from an individual standpoint, are deciding not to make. Local banks whether state chartered or not, federal credit unions are probably the most insulated, but it's essentially a cash business because from a matter of law, federally, it's illegal. So it's trying to operate as a cash business with limited finance options, which New York State tried to accommodate for with the fund that was going to have turnkey leases. It's hard to get financing for a number of reasons, but most importantly because you don't have a lot of banks on board. And at some point, I think they will be. OCM has said the funds weren't there and raised. Not that they won't be or can't be. They're just not right now, and they can't hold this process up.
And that's Jason Little of Farrell Fritz speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. You can catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law podcast. You can download the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts, and attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. S&P futures right now up 11 points. Dow futures up 62. NASDAQ futures are higher by 48 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 13 32nds. Yield 3.69%. Yield on the 2-year 4.34%. And NYMEX crude is sinking down 2.6%. $74.96 a barrel. We'll check your business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. Hour 2 of Bloomberg Daybreak starts right now.